Welcome to Beer Field, where OBS is screwed up, so you don't get to see either of us today, because I'm not going to bother to try to fix it. I am your host, Chris Hopper.
Hey.
Beer Field Hop, as always, joined by Dan Thury, at Beer Field Thury. Ryan Miner, it's his wife's birthday, so he opted not to podcast tonight.
Probably smart.
Probably one of his wiser decisions, yes.
Yeah, we're going to go with good choice.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to get too distracted if I try to fix it. We're going to be looking back at the 2023 NFL draft class today. We are going to be putting a bow on the coaching carousel because all head coaching positions are filled. So at least we'll put a bow on the head coaches. There's still some coordinator spots out there. I believe, actually, there's one that broke since I made these notes at 6 o'clock. And, yeah, we'll be drinking some beer, and then we'll talk about championship weekend. So without further ado.
What's fueling Beer Field?
What are you drinking, Dan?
So I got some Phase 3 on. Normally I don't go with the hazy range, but they're doing a collaboration with Black Stack Brewing, which is a brewery out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And I've talked about them on the show when I've had them on, when they do collaboration stuff with people that I get around here. They share a building with my uncle's business. So I always like to, you know, get them when I see them so I can, you know, show support.
Support. Yeah.
It's again, it's a double dry hop hazy IPA, Mosaic, Talus, Idaho 7, and Strata are the hot bill. Obviously, they're gonna. I don't really think they ever put the malt bill in. I would just imagine,
you know, nah, most of the time two row, not, two row, and probably
I would imagine
like
two row
malts.
Yeah, maybe oak flakes. That's become pretty popular.
The hazy, it'll have oat because it keeps proteins in suspension.
Yeah, makes it more body, less, more fluffy. Almost like to say it's more fluffy. It's the Gabriel Iglesias of beer style.
Makes it fluffy and keeps it hazy.
Yep.
So does wheat. Speaking of collaborations, Milpon just released a collaboration with Microphone, by the way. So,
ooh,
yeah, I'm gonna have to get out there this weekend and give that a try.
Next time I'm down in the Milstead area, which might be next week, I think, because I haven't been to that route in a while. So, gotta do my job.
Yeah, I might be over there this weekend just because I'm trying to figure out what I'm gonna do on Saturday. So,
there you go.
I haven't been out there in a little bit. Anyway, I've got Omegang. Everything Nice is the last Christmas beer I have laying around. It's strong blonde ale with seasonal spices and natural and artificial flavor. So as we come into spring beers, get this last Christmas beer out of the fridge before I go restock on things. They're out of Cooperstown, New York. Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, too. So more on these about halfway through the show. Let's go ahead and get into the news.
News.
All right, we'll start off with the two remaining head coaching spots as of last week. Those have both been filled. Dan Quinn, Cowboys defensive coordinator, former Falcons head coach, goes to the Washington Commanders. He's got his work cut out for him. This is a defense that traded away cornerstone pieces. It's a team that's in full-blown rebuild, and, you know, they've got to commit to him because you're not going to get instant results out of this team.
I was surprised that it wasn't offensive-minded coach. Big news out was to kind of coincide with this is Ben Johnson, Detroit's offensive coordinator, opted to not take any deals, to not take any more interviews. She decided to stay in Detroit. And it was reported he turned down Washington, which
Bobby Slowick also opting to stay with Houston as well.
Yeah.
So two offensive head coaches, offensive coordinators getting some love that were hanging around there in the head coaching scene.
I was surprised, you know, Obviously, we don't know what the money details were in Ben Johnson's offer, but I thought Washington would have been a good spot for offensive guy to land. New ownership, obviously, if you know, full new coaching regime, you can bring in your own guys. The number two overall pick, which you then get the pretty almost handpick your quarterback. Obviously, you know, you have the 101, but pretty much handpick your quarterback and a bunch of salary cap to play around with.
Yeah.
So interesting. Little interesting to go into the DC route or into the defensive route.
It is the defensive guy, though, that it's not like a coordinator that just got promoted. It is a guy that's got head coaching experience that did, you know, we know he can get out of the offense's way because Atlanta had some really, really good offenses. Thanks to Kyle Shanahan around that same point in time. So, you know, it's. The key for Washington isn't going to be the coaches. It's a good hire. It's a good experienced hire. It's going to be what do they do now with the draft picks, with the cap space, and how do they rebuild? Because they need it on both sides of the ball. It really doesn't have anything to play with.
No, it's well, they traded them all away.
Right.
All their top defensive piece.
So they're going to build it from the ground off. Ground up.
Who's the OC there? Oh, yeah, Ben.
The enemy was. They haven't.
He never filled his spot, right? He didn't get fired, did he?
Well, no. What happened is Rivera got fired, and they'll typically retain coordinators. This is what the Chargers did with Harbaugh, too. They'll retain coordinators until the guy comes in and makes a decision on whether he wants to keep them or not keep them. So he hasn't been fired.
That's right.
But there's no guarantee that Dan Quinn decides to roll with the enemy as his OC or not, depending on what's out there. The Quinn hire just happened earlier today, I think.
They haven't
filled it yet. To get the head coach in place, and then we'll see what they do at OC. I'd be surprised if they didn't keep Bieniemy around with him not getting a head coaching job, but we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder if this had influence on it too. Then, you know, Washington wanted to try to retain Bieniemy. You know, obviously he's done great throughout his. You know, his tenure as an OC, especially obviously in Kansas City, but yeah, maybe that's part of it.
Could be. And, you know, a lot of good OCs are swapped up at this point in the cycle. So,
yeah.
Mike McDonald, Ravens defensive coordinator, going to the Seahawks.
This fucking hurts. You knew
as good as they were and as good as they weren't necessarily supposed to be, but as good as they ended up being on that side of the ball, that he was going to get this.
I mean, Ravens lost their DC. They lost their linebackers coach, and then they just promoted their defensive back coach to fill the DC spot. But a lot of Ravens fans wanted to try to keep McDonald. You know, I would have loved to see them give John Harbaugh the Pete Carroll treatment and just let him fucking do something higher up as an assistant. But, oh, well, he is a fantastic DC and a big reason why Baltimore was successful as they were on defense this year and the incredible success towards the end of the season and in the postseason. The true bright spot in the disastrous KC game.
Yep, and we've seen, you know, Seattle perform better than expected. It seems like they've got some pieces there. Way more, this is the better landing spot, arguably, than what Quinn got with the Commanders.
Oh, easily.
So,
yeah,
they've got things on the offensive side of the ball. They've got things on the defensive side of the ball. They have something to build on. So, you know, it's a good hire. It's a good pickup, especially if it helps them defensively so that they don't have to go all in on the offense. And,
this was a good hire.
It's
a great, yeah. I, as you mentioned, with the top of the ball, and I think McDonald's going to be able to attract some of these free agents that Baltimore is losing to.
Yeah, he will. As we mentioned earlier, Ben Johnson to stay with the Lions. That was rumored to be mostly about salary. Bobby Slowick staying with Houston, so those guys will be two of the hot names, I'd imagine, in the next coaching cycle again as well. Titans hired Denard Wilson as their defensive coordinator. So that was the Ravens defensive backs coach. He went to Tennessee.
Well, I must have got to mix up them.
Yeah.
It must have been the linebackers coach. It was Anthony Weaver got promoted
as linebackers coach. DB coach
Okay.
went to Tennessee.
That was right. Backwards then. Just kidding.
So, like always, a lot of these coordinators hires, what we're seeing now is you're not seeing longtime coordinators stay in coordinator roles. They're going to head coaches, and then your coordinators are going to be filled with guys that either were assistants on really, really good offenses or defenses, or that were head coaches that got fired and are now reverting to the role that they got promoted out of. In this case, this is a positional coach on a really good defense that's going to Tennessee to get a crack at a coordinator job. So we'll see.
We'll see. Zach Orr was the Ravens defensive.
That's it.
Coordinator. That's I was like, wait a minute. Weaver sounds wrong. Yeah, Zach Orr, old Ravens player that got his career cut short due to the injury. So then signed on now the new DC. So maybe they'll hit strike fire twice.
Maybe. Packers hiring head coach of Boston College. Jeff Hafley is their defensive coordinator. He's previously a defensive backs coach in the NFL for 6 years and then went to coach at the college ranks, I guess, and now they're bringing him up to be a DC. They've been bowl eligible. I don't know what else to say about this. This kind of bucks the trend I just mentioned of, you know, you come in as a positional coach and then you get bumped up or you get fired as a head coach and you bump down. This is kind of the rare college head coach jumping straight into a coordinator position on the defensive side of the ball. Steelers fans, I am so sorry for the paragraph I'm about to read. Arthur Smith has been hired as the Steelers' offensive coordinator. Art Rooney has said Najee Harris and Jalen Warren should be the foundation of the team's offense because of the 1980s. God. He's also looking to re-sign Mason Rudolph and believes we have yet to see his ceiling.
I mean, I'm happy as a Ravens fan.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Enjoy 8-9 seasons, 9-8, 7-10.
If you are a dynasty manager of either running back, good luck. And by that, I mean probably Jalen Warren is about to go to the fucking moon.
It's so hard. Like, I've seen, it's funny, I've seen responses to both players with this move, and it's like, what this is going to tell me, which is really funny, is that they're both going to probably be value in redraft leagues next year.
Way too high.
Because they're both going to be productive. They're both going to be flex options next year.
They are.
And Warren should be, you know, obviously more efficient, but they're probably both going to be, you know, fairly cheap. And one of those, hey, someone's got to be productive on there. Someone's got to do something on that team next year.
Yeah, well, and it sucks for George Pickens.
Less targets, hopefully. I mean, he's like trying to recreate the Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, I guess, era. He doesn't have Henry, and Pickens isn't A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and really...
Sorry.
No, Pickens is not A.J. Brown, and his 2 years is O.C. A.J. Brown went barely over 1,000 yards with 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that was the best receiver performance he had either year, I think. I'm betting this right now, so bear with me. We don't research before this.
No.
Yeah. Who does AJ that? Brown, barely over 100 targets, barely over 1,000 yards both years. Now, Corey Davis, a little bit behind that, so maybe there's hope for Pickens, but this certainly caps the ceiling, knowing how Arthur Smith runs his offenses.
Yeah. Not a lot of plays, and he'll do what Baltimore should have done against the Chiefs for running the football a bunch.
Yep. Brad Idzik, the Bucs wide receivers coach, has been hired as Carolina's new OC. Now, remember, the Bucs offensive coordinator is the new Carolina head coach. So, brings one of his position coaches to fill the OC role. That makes sense. Probably the biggest splash hire here is the Eagles hiring Kellen Moore.
I like this for Jalen Hurts, man. It can't get it. It's not fucking any worse than, was it Ryan Johnson?
Yeah. In the way that
towards the end of the year
was running. So I think this is overall good. I think this is good news for DeAndre Swift. I think this is good news for AJ Brown. Should he be healthy? This is good news for the offense. It's good news for Hurts, as you mentioned. You know, more flamed out a little bit in Dallas, wasn't really able to fly under McCarthy, and then I don't know how Los Angeles does it and how the Chargers do it, but it kills everything and everybody.
Yeah, it's just
Everything underperforms there.
it's odd.
It
And we'll
is.
see. Obviously, this is his second chance to try to make a name for himself to get him back into the head coaching carousel.
He'll be back under an offensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
We'll
maybe he
see.
can take what he learned from McCarthy and what Sirianni is doing and come up with something. He's gonna get every shot. So, it's an improvement,
Yep.
though. Falcons have hired Zach Robinson, the Rams quarterback coach, as their offensive coordinator. So, solid
McVay
hire.
coaching tree.
Yep, McVay coaching tree. It's a
I
solid
like
hire.
this move. I
I
like
do
this.
too.
I what Atlanta's done, we can finally be rewarded with the offensive weapons that a lot of us invested draft capital into in our dynasty leagues can finally pay off now because there's no excuse. And
Long as they get a
I'm very
quarterback.
intrigued. I'm very intrigued to see what they do in free agency in the rookie or in the NFL draft.
I am too. They're one of my favorite teams to watch throughout the offseason, just to see how they improve because they do have some big skill pieces.
Yep.
So they can put some defensive pieces in place and get the quarterback situation figured out. I mean, they're not in a tough division, so.
No. Wide open.
And then Cliff Kingsbury to the Raiders is their offensive coordinator.
Insert Atlanta thing here.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The good coaching infrastructure, some good defensive pieces, although they don't quite have, they've got an aging Davante Adams. They don't quite have the young skill players at every position that Atlanta has in Vegas, but. So I think Atlanta's a little further along from a roster construction perspective, but same thing. Just going to be watching them like a hawk to see what they do.
Yeah, three picks. I mean, they have all their picks.
Yeah.
Nothing extra. They have two extra seventh rounders. So I'll be interested to see how they navigate the draft. If they're going to replenish, get a little younger, especially in offense, as you mentioned, just their aging pieces or guys that just haven't quite hit.
Yeah, I've got some wide receivers that are going to be out on the market to supplement what's going on there. Jacoby Myers obviously is a good ancillary piece, but you know, they're going to have to figure out what to do with the running back position if they roll with Zimmy or Wyatt or they go with Josh Jacobs or they draft from a shallow draft class or what they do there and you know, quarterback again. So
If the Raiders are, if the Bears are serious about trading the 101, the Raiders could be watch them. Obviously, with
yeah.
Cliff's ties to USC and the Caleb, they may be a team that wants to get
Come
aggressive,
up and get it.
try to go up and get them.
I wouldn't mind that. All right. On to news. The Texans signed veteran long snapper John Weeks to a 1-year deal worth $1.21 million. So foundational piece of their franchise is in place, at least for next year. 38 years old, been snapping footballs for 14 years.
Hey
So
man, the man's making a living.
you know what? Make over $1 million,
Pride.
snap a football, and they can't even run into you. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Packers poor GM Brian Gutekunst. They plan to sign Jordan Love to a long-term extension in the offseason, which duh.
I am very, very fucking intrigued
I'm intrigued to see what the
to
money
see what
is
this
and the
deal
years
looks
are.
like. I'm pretty like it's not going to be to the levels of what we saw from the top quarterbacks this offseason. Hurts, Jackson and Burrow and Herbert contracts, but Dax, I think, is a good foundation piece to look on
Daniel
when he
Jones.
signed his. Daniel Jones is probably more modern and better. He should hopefully get more than Daniel Jones in a per year and the length. Obviously, I think a 4-year extension is probably what he'll get.
Yeah.
Not really an extension because this is extension. So I'll be
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
4 to 5 years, and I'm interested to see the money. And it's a situation where you've got this is the problem with doing it the way the Packers did it. And it's not really a problem because it worked out for them, but. You know, you get 1 year to see what you've got in game situations, and then you got to decide what you're going to pay the guy.
God, it's just nuts.
Based on 1 year.
Based off of not even a full season's worth of dominant play.
Right.
People like to forget the struggles he had in midseason too.
No, and he adjusted and he came into it well, but yep, we've seen that, you know, the NFL adjusts to you and then do you adjust to the NFL? And we've seen this with quarterbacks. We've seen guys come in and play well for a stretch, but you know, normally it's just their backups or their, you know, rookies or their bridge guys on a 1 or 2 year deal and you're fine. But here now you got to balance, how do we take care of this guy that looked pretty good, but not kill ourselves? And, you know, maybe it's short years, high dollar because of the amount of young players they have on rookie deals, especially at the wide receiver positions and stuff.
Yeah. So, I wonder if Fitzcamp will get aggressive too and try to,
yeah,
you know, either go the short year route to see if he can get a much higher salary.
I think that works for both teams.
Yeah, or he'll try to get a longer-term deal to just kind of solidify the early. Yeah, I am
front load it
super
and
intrigued.
Front load it and incentivize the hell out of it, whatever you do.
That's what Green Bay is going to definitely want.
That's what they're going
to have
to do.
I can see heavy incentives just to try to protect them and then front load the contract to keep them happy.
Well, yeah, front load the contract to keep them happy, but front load the contract too so that when it comes time to have to pay, you know, those wide receivers that you're developing and some of those young linemen and some of those younger defensive pieces that you can do it.
Yeah.
Because they're a young team. So,
very.
Yeah. So, I mean, good, right? You can do that, but then, you know, it's going to come time to pay the Piper. So you can't sign him to a deal, load it up, and then you make your decisions about who you're paying all at once. Jets to keep Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator, but seeking a more collaborative play calling process. I don't know if you saw Diana Rossini's article about the Jets, but you know, it was a lot of what we already knew, but also a lot of what you can infer. Like after Rodgers got hurt, he really didn't step out to help Zach Wilson. That after Wilson was benched, Sala essentially told him, you're done here. We're going to trade you in the offseason. And then when they came back, like, actually, we need you to start. He really did say, no, I'm not going to. And then they sent Rodgers in, who had left him out to dry, to try to convince him to start. And it wasn't until it broke to the media that he decided he would start because he didn't want that look, which means that somebody probably leaked it.
Yeah. He was fucked either way.
He was totally.
He doesn't
fucked.
Have any ground. He just doesn't have any real ground or promise to stand on that he can lean on. It's not like he can get cut and then he's gonna get
right.
Signed to a team instantly. I mean, maybe, but that sucks.
Yeah.
I also don't like. I just want to see Rodgers implode this. And then, like, I've been pretty critical of, so I've been really critical of this situation, especially this year, especially with how they handled right after the injury and just not really having what seemed to be a plan and just kind of shitting the bed because they have a good roster. And
so apparently they went and talked to veteran quarterbacks, and Woody Johnson, I think, is who nixed that. Because they did, I guess, go talk to like Colt McCoy and a few other. Carson Wentz and a couple others that were out there, and it got nixed, and then they switched from we're going for it this year to 7 wins is good enough. Let's just all keep our jobs.
I guess we'll see you next year.
Yeah, that's gonna be what does it in or doesn't.
Yep.
Then Rodgers goes to the Vikings. All right. Last bit of news, speaking of the Vikings, TJ Hockenson underwent successful ACL surgery on Monday. And the only reason I have this in here now is, what the fuck were they waiting on?
I don't know. Maybe the doctor that free up. I have no fucking clue.
He hurt his ACL before the end of the regular season.
I know.
He's been sitting on a torn ACL
for a month and a half?
A month and a half, 2 months, and he's that much further behind in his recovery. This makes no damn sense to me at all.
I'm trying to, like, I don't know. It's it definitely makes it feel like he's not going to be ready to start the season next year anyways.
No. Because you're 6 months away from training camp.
That's especially playing, you know, tight end, and he blocks too. Like, yeah, he's that's not going to be that's not like a running back or wide receiver, you know, QB recovery. That's that'll be a little longer.
What you hope is that this is a misreport and it was a second surgery to go in and clean some shit up. But
I mean, it could have been he was waiting to find the right doctor, maybe I don't know. Waiting to see like what his report was on you know, if there's something wrong with the MCL, like trying to figure out more of what the issue
fucking
is.
NFL, it doesn't take him 2 months to get an MRI.
I don't know. I don't know.
This just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Anyway, let's talk playoffs for a second. 49ers come back against the Lions. I did not get to watch this game. I just know that I looked and the Lions were up by a lot and then they weren't, and Brock Purdy did the damn thing. I've seen a lot out there about some of Dan Campbell's decisions potentially not playing out here. I mean, he was consistent, but it was a situation where, like, okay, if he had taken the field goal, they probably win that game.
That's hindsight. Like, if
slippery slope arguments, though.
Like, if he makes any of those fourth downs, if Josh Reynolds doesn't drop, you know, his passes,
yeah,
it's different. Like, it's hindsight. Like, you can, like, you're always going to look back and say what we could have done. I totally money lined in game time bet the Niners to win this at halftime. So
nice.
I was like, I'm gonna have fun with this.
Yeah.
Because it felt very eerily like the 28-3 game in Super Bowl. I was like, I just like Lions haven't suffered enough. And I jokingly said this to everybody, I'm like, Lions haven't suffered enough. Like, the Lions fans haven't suffered enough. They haven't gone through what other NFC North fan bases have gone through because they've been bad for so long.
Right.
And this is their 1998, 2009, you know, Vikings moment.
Yeah.
Here it is.
And so for the Lions too, I mean, this is it, right? You've got a secondary wide receiver dropping passes when we know they need more wide receiver depth. Right? You've got a defense that gave up, what was it, 27 unanswered?
Yep.
To the Niners when we know that the defense is a work in progress. And you had an offense that jumped out to an early lead when we know that they have great pieces. To quote the late Dennis Green, the Lions are who I thought they were. A really, really good team that needs just a couple other things to land in place to be a great team.
It was just a whole massive bit of bad timing. The off the hands face max thing to IU to set them up on one of their touchdowns. It's just,
yeah,
it happens. That's the fucking NFL for you. And
well,
boy, you know what would have been great at pick 12 instead of Jahmyr Gibbs?
What's that? A
second receiver that could have, I don't know,
pass.
Been there for this moment.
Yeah. Rushy no, Rice.
No, in this no. I mean, sure, yeah, they could have gone
that's
that
what
route.
I'm saying.
They could have went, you know, maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba there at 12, and
yeah,
and then, you know, maybe Achan later, or just try to take Gibbs later instead of the fucking Jack Campbell pick.
We'll talk about Rice and JSN and others here in a minute.
But yes, we will.
I agree, and that makes a difference because, yeah,
hindsight, dog. Yeah,
hindsight, though. But, and again, you know what? Again, they're a team that very clearly has a couple needs, and it's basically wide receiver depth and defense. You got Aiden
Hutchinson.
Need
another pass rusher for sure.
Another pass rusher. Get some help in the secondary. They'll be fine.
Yep. And just experience overall, you know. Yep. Will they get back there? Maybe.
They're absolutely trending in the right direction. That's been Dan Campbell's
tenure.
Still love
Dan
Campbell.
True.
And, you know.
Still biting off kneecaps. Just had his own bit off a little bit.
They're fun to watch, and I hope they continue to be fun to watch. At least until the Bears are done with their rebuild.
Yeah.
And Chiefs beat the Ravens. Baltimore, to me, watching this game, couldn't get out of their own damn way.
There's a lot of things wrong. From abandoning the thing that got you there to no halftime adjustments to the hero ball. From just playing hero ball from Lamar Jackson.
Miller
felt like Lamar
hero
Miller
ball.
At times out there.
Well, and the hero ball is kind of what I mean there, right? Because you've got Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers trying to do it all, and that was just not happening. Flowers fumbles, takes a bad penalty. Lamar
He was off all
turnovers.
game.
He was
Like
off.
he was obviously better in the second half, but
Credit the Chiefs defense. Credit
they
Steve Spagnuolo.
it was a masterful, like the score doesn't set it up as enough. It was a masterful first half that I've seen from them all year. Their first two drives was obviously resulted both in the touchdowns. They neutralized every good thing that Baltimore does on defense. And that was it. And they knew that they beat them. And it was just one of those things where, like, yes, they should have put up more points, but
They should
they
have.
were just letting Baltimore beat himself constantly.
And that's the thing with the Super Bowl, right? Is I can't ignore the fact that the Chiefs did not score off of those turnovers. And that Baltimore's got a great defense, but the Chiefs did not score off of those turnovers. And that's the thing that they're going to have to clean up because they should have won this in a blowout. But
Both,
because.
I mean, to be honest, Baltimore should have, like, they had every right, they had every opportunity to come back,
And they couldn't
and they
because the
couldn't,
defense
and
was
they could
playing
have,
well.
they themselves could have found a way to even blow them out. It's like,
Right.
it was insane just how,
But
yeah.
with the way the Chiefs' defense was playing, the offense should have found a way to put up more than 17.
I mean, yeah, the offense didn't do any point, like, multiple three and outs and just stalled drives and
Yeah.
the easiest the like put in their potential playoff Super Bowl hopes on the line by throwing a duck to MVS. And by duck I mean by you're playing the game 500 and you throw them a lob
And it
and just
worked.
Baltimore didn't get any turnovers all postseason and just not enough to get done. They played a perfect second half on defense besides getting the turnover.
Niners in the Super Bowl?
I have Chiefs.
Do you?
Yeah, boy, yeah. I
Because
bet instantly.
been there before? And the
It's
defense
more
being
so.
insane?
I think the Chiefs are the. I honestly think the Chiefs are gonna like that defense is so fucking good, and what they did to Baltimore's defense on offense, what I would expect to see from them, to take from that game is to not lean on what we
I don't think
basically
seven.
take what they got in the first half because Baltimore's defense is. Lot better than San Francisco's, and I think the Chiefs found a way to beat a defense like that.
Yeah, I don't think 17 gets it done though. So they're gonna have to find a way
You're gonna have to find points,
if they
sure.
can get to Purdy, they can generate turnovers, they can contain McCaffrey, they're gonna have to find a way to get points. And
McCaffrey's X factor in this. It's him and Kittle. Those are your two biggest. If your San Fran wins this game, it's on the backs of McCaffrey and Kittle. Wide receivers don't do shit against some.
Oh, the
Against the
tight end
Chiefs that
matchup in
has
this game is amazing.
yeah, it's what we want, right? And unfortunately, it's not the matchup that I wanted. I would have like it's not the matchup that most people didn't want. This is
It's not the colors in the logo.
yeah. I just think
Birds.
yeah, I know. This is the Chiefs. I just they're peaking at the exact right time, and San
Well.
Francisco has it's taken two collapses. Honestly, it's taken a Green Bay and a Detroit collapse in
For
both
them to get
games
here. For
for
them
them
to
to
get
get
here.
here. And
Yeah.
it's all credit to them, by all
And
means.
not
But
taking anything away from Brock Purdy. What
no.
he's done is incredible.
They're not getting no they're not coming back if that happens to Kansas
No,
City. Not a fucking chance.
Kansas City's defense has been too damn good.
Yeah,
They're gonna have to
and they're
go.
experienced
Yeah, they're gonna
with
have to go tit for
everything.
tat, and you're right, they are peaking. Mahomes is an enigma. Kelce is playing his best ball in 6 months.
He's finally, I think it's honestly because Kelce's finally
I
fucking
think so
healthy.
too. I think he
Yeah,
came back
he's
from
been
the high
hurt all
ankle
year.
sprain, has
Yeah.
been hurt all year. So Kelce is playing his best ball in months, and Rashee Rice is breaking out.
And Kadarius Toney is off the injury report. it's the Chiefs. I took the
All
Chiefs
they
in the
need,
under.
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I bet.
All
The
they need
Chiefs in the
is
under.
Watson or MVS or Tony to miraculously make a play, and they're probably good.
Yeah.
Because they lack secondary receiving help. Whereas the Niners are not that. The Niners are going to
No.
test the Chiefs defense.
Good luck.
Niners got a lot of people.
Because
It'll be fun.
you're gonna rattle pretty early, and you can
You
see the
rattle Purdy
mistakes come.
early and get him off. That's where the mistakes are going to come. If you can rattle him and key in on McCaffrey, then you're going to be
Good
in pretty
luck.
good shape.
McCaffrey will get his own.
If you
I
can't
think
rattle
so.
him and they're getting CMC and Kittle and Ayuk and Debo all involved, going to be a long night. Because I think if the Niners' offense is hitting on all cylinders, I don't think know that the Chiefs have the firepower to keep up with it.
The Chiefs, yeah, the offense is not going to, it's not what it's going to carry. It's what the Chiefs' defense can do. It's what they can, unless we get early. I mean, I won't say the offense can't carry it. It's going to be what type of play calling they can have to start the game. What do they
Right.
have? What do they have written down the first, 50 plays or
Yeah.
how many plays they have written down first to kind of start this game?
Well, we've got two good coaches. We've got two great tight ends. Some great defensive pieces. It'll be a fun game.
And a beautiful love story.
And a beautiful love story. She said, by the way, those odds on will Travis Kelce propose? I expected those to be.
The fact that there's odds that he could propose to her just makes it, oh my
And it
God.
was
I want
only,
it to happen.
dude, it was only +190.
I want it to happen just to see the Republican talking
I
heads,
want to see people
their
fucking
heads
melt
to
down.
explode.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh my God, it'd be fucking magical.
Beer review.
All right, I'll go ahead and start. I'm drinking Omegang out of Cooperstown, New York. This is their Everything Nice. It's a limited release, strong blonde ale with seasonal spice, natural and artificial flavor. First taste of this, like, blew me away with the natural and artificial flavor. It was intense. As it warmed up, as I drank it more, that intensity settles down. It doesn't have an alcohol bite or anything for. The fact that it is a strong ale, which actually this should be, they got a label over the ABV. So I'm assuming with this being a strong ale, we're at 8%+. That doesn't drink like that at all. It's light, it's not heavy, it's not cloying. They don't say what the white spices are. I'm getting clove, maybe juniper, a bit of white chocolate, perhaps. It's very festive,
Very
but
festive.
yeah, it's very festive. It's very easy drinking. I'm not getting like some of the fruit notes or things like that that we get out of some of these beers. It really, to me, tastes like it might be clove, nutmeg, white chocolate, potentially some juniper. Really easy drinking though. Really, really pleasant once you get past those first couple sips that are pretty intense. I'm gonna see if I can figure out what's in this while you do yours.
Yeah, so again, I am drinking, the beer is called Black Banquet. Again, this is from Phase 3 out of Chicago, Illinois, in collaboration with Black Stack Brewing out of St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a double dry hopped hazy IPA, Mosaic, Talus, Idaho 7, and Strata. This is a prototypical double dry hopped hazy IPA using a combination of West Coast hops and probably experimental hops that are blended with fucking other hops. Stone fruit, grapefruit. You get, a bit of the earthiness on the back end, the pine to kind of give it that skunkish feel. Booze wise, probably 7.4 or something in that range. Because again, double dry hop hazy, single IPAs are typically in that range. And if you haven't had a chance to get Phase 3, they make good hazies, good IPAs.
Yeah, they
Their
do.
other styles are fantastic. Phase 3 is probably my favorite Chicago brewery for the most part, probably all around. So if you're ever up in this area or in the Midwest, because Phase 3 is starting to expand a bit in terms of their distribution, I would check them out. And then if you're ever in Minnesota in St. Paul, check out Black Sack as well.
Nice. So I was close. It's cinnamon. I had the cinnamon and clove right. There's also ginger, nutmeg, some baking spice. I was all over that. White pepper, which I didn't really pick up. And then
Probably being
caramel
masked
malt.
by all the spices in there.
Yeah, and then caramel malt, which is where I'm getting the
Makes
sweetness from.
sense. Yeah.
It is a actually Belgian golden strong. So it's a strong blonde ale. It's Belgian style blonde. So it's essentially a golden strong. Spice to hell. 9% doesn't drink like it. So good beer.
Omni Gain's good. Again,
They do
They,
good
you know,
stuff. They know
they
what
do
they're
a lot of
doing.
fun stuff too.
Yeah. So I
And
was
they
like, all right.
like the Belgian styles. They were the brewing company that did a lot of the Game of Thrones stuff. They were in that era of TV and
Oh,
time
yeah,
and
they
pop
did.
culture. That was them doing a lot of the Game of Thrones and style inspired stuff, and they do a lot of fun stuff. So
Yeah.
nationally distributed, so if you haven't had a chance to pick them up, go check them out.
All right, we got a draft class to get to.
Yeah.
We'll start with the quarterbacks because there's a good
Please.
amount here. So Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, those are the two that we've really talked about for the majority of the year. So I don't want to rehash a lot of that. Bryce Young, we know he did not have a great start in year one. He didn't have a lot of talent around him either. New coaching staff, new infrastructure. We'll see what they do in the draft. Bryce Young is, he's at a point that a lot of rookie quarterbacks are where we need to see him take that year two step. He's not shot yet. You're not burnt on him yet. You shouldn't be burnt on him yet. But you're definitely paying really close attention next year. Some people just have these growing pains. So anything on Bryce?
I guess buy whatever low that you can get. It's going to be cheap in dynasties, no standpoints. I'm pulling up their draft picks. They have 6 total picks in 24 draft. They have their second and third rounder. They have everything besides, I mean, I guess they have every round covered besides the seventh. And they're obviously their first round pick this year is to Chicago. So they still have 2 top picks, top 100, and 2 top picks, top 75. There's a very good chance that they spend another draft pick on a wide receiver because you want to try to find a foundational player to build around with
Yeah, could
Young.
also spend in free agency on that too. There's some
That as
guys.
well. Yeah, it's going to get better than last year. It can't get much worse in terms of who we can throw the football to. Unfortunately, you know, Mingo couldn't take a step forward, and Thielen kind of started to drop off as he dealt with his own shit. So it's not bad. It doesn't look particularly great for any ceiling hitting, but
Well,
I think at this point,
Mingo was a rookie. Marshall couldn't take a step forward. Mingo
yeah,
was.
I mean,
Yeah. Me. Yeah.
you're hoping from a higher draft pick from even this class that you could have seen him step, try to find his own in a pretty ambiguous wide receiver room.
Right.
He dealt with his own injuries. I guess we don't have to talk about him anymore, but it should be better this year. Probably won't see him hit his ceiling that a lot of people thought he could. Maybe he still can. Obviously, that's not written, but QB2 bench. Maybe it's what we're hoping for from this point. Maybe become streamer worthy.
Yep. CJ Stroud, complete opposite. Incredible rookie year, incredible coaching, incredible infrastructure.
Buy high.
Yeah, buy high. Ceiling
Buy high. Yep.
is the roof. He's on a rocket ship.
I'm so glad I have him on. I am so glad if it was either him or Richardson is who I have through almost all my rookie drafts. I had any top picks. I have him. I have one of those two.
Yeah, that brings us to Anthony Richardson. Obviously, rookie season cut very, very short. We saw the athleticism when he was on the field, for the 4 games that he was on the field, but about what we expected. Three touchdowns to one interception, small book, couple games with nothing going there. It's really just a situation with him where he kind of had a lost season, and what you saw is what you expected you were going to see. Should it get on the field, right? You were going to see the athleticism. You were going to see the rushing. You were going to see the touchdown upside, and you absolutely got that, which is great for fantasy football. There's going to be concerns about him being able to stay on the field after doing this in year one, too. So we don't really have a thick enough book to know what he is as a passer right now.
Yeah, the hope is that he can take from this year and apply to next year. It's protect yourself.
Yeah.
He's also, again, he's built like Cam Newton. He's basically the 2023 version of Cam Newton in terms of size and athleticism. He's more athletic than Cam was coming out. It's just, as Hopper mentioned, he's got to stay in the field. He's got to avoid the hits that took him out. He got taken out of game two because of concussion, and now he's dealt with multiple concussion issues already, which is going to make people concerned, and it probably should. But I'm still excited to get him, and I'll take whatever dip because this felt like a slam dunk for
No,
fantasy.
You shouldn't have moved on. If you valued him high, you should still be high. If you valued him
Yeah.
low, you're
Even
still
though I
low.
did
There
trade
is,
him.
you valued
Traded him
him
pretty
low,
much.
you shouldn't be as low, but you know, not enough of a book to really change whatever your thought was.
No.
Will Levis came in, had one good game, and a couple mediocre ones before he got hurt. Took over late for Ryan Tannehill. Not late, I guess he got like half a season in, damn near. But 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, that's not a bad ratio. A Titans team that, you know, was lackluster and eventually let all their coaching staff go, and you know, it kind of mediocre. Some good in there for Levis. You know, right now I think you're cautiously optimistic as a back-end QB2 at the moment.
It's funny. It's the one thing that sticks out is the number one in air yards per attempt. So obviously he wants to push the football downfield. Anybody know, well, Levis shouldn't be shocked by that. It's just his efficiency numbers are so bad.
Yeah,
And that
but
doesn't
his
need to
wide
have,
receivers were really bad too. So,
yeah, I mean, Hopkins and everybody else hurt. And
he wasn't
we'll see.
exactly in a position to succeed. So,
Yeah, I had very low expectations anyway, so
and
it's
he
not
didn't.
like I was it's not like I came out of this going shocked. It was
No, the fact that he didn't shit the bed entirely actually exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, it shows, you know, the four touchdown game to open it. It showed the upside of everything around Levis clicks. Unfortunately, I don't really have faith in Tennessee to get that done. Maybe they can. It's
Tennessee's one of those teams that, for as long as we've been doing this, I've always felt like their roster just screamed, I don't know how the hell they're winning.
It, you know, they found their formula with the Derrick Henry era. They got one of the best efficiency seasons from a, you know, from a middling quarterback in Tannehill, and they hit on AJ Brown and they traded him.
Yeah.
And then they've been trying to find their new AJ Brown. And
They've just never put together a roster top to bottom. They felt like it was, I shouldn't, never, as long as we've been paying attention to this, put together a roster that felt like top to bottom, that it could support a quarterback, support a lot of fantasy relevant pieces, support, you
yeah.
know, deep playoff runs or anything like that. It's just always felt kind of okay. They got their formula. It feels really meh. I don't know how the hell they're doing this. And that's what they've always been. So I think that's why we don't have any faith in them to put something together around them that can succeed, because at least it's 2024, in the 7 years we've been doing this, they haven't.
Yeah, and they really haven't chased a quarterback until this point. I mean, I guess last year, but it's, yeah,
Yeah.
I don't really have any real opinion on Levis at this point. And either way, I'm so low as I was low on him already, and I'm not trying to acquire him, but most people
No,
aren't. It's one of those things
it's a
where,
hold.
yeah, it's, you know, the collective community is pretty much low on him already. So most people that are listening to Dynasty Podcast at this point probably are still low on him anyways.
Yep.
So he's a hole from the standpoint is you he's probably of equal value of where he was where you drafted him.
Yep. All right, a couple other guys, you go further down. You know, Hendon Hooker working his way back from injury there in Detroit. We didn't see Hanner take the field at all. Stetson Bennett left the Rams early. No official reason why, but a lot of rumors out there that it was alcohol abuse related, so left to get himself right. Aiden O'Connell is the next guy we're going to get to at the end of the fourth round that got a bit of run, you know, after things went south with Jimmy G. And you know, he also, like Levis, put together a 4 touchdown game. He also, like Levis, had a mixed bag of results, 12 touchdowns, 7 picks, didn't totally shit the bed, didn't really take off and fly either. You know, there's a damn near what Levis was a second rounder,
Yeah.
and Aiden O'Connell was a supplemental pick between the fourth and the fifth. So, I mean, there's damn near 3 rounds of draft difference between those two. Aiden O'Connell, I think, outplayed his draft capital. I
Oh,
don't know if
easily.
he's a long-term answer, but he showed decently. And this is why the Raiders are interesting to watch, because they could say we're going to build up other places and try to do this with AOC.
I mean, he had a strong end to his season. You know, 8 touchdowns and no interceptions since week 15. Obviously,
with Antonio Pierce,
there is something there to be said. Now, you bring in Cliff, who's going to probably want his own quarterback. He's going to want to have to, you know, he's going to want to handpick potentially to that point. I don't think he got the handpick in the Kyler Murray. Did the Cardinals have?
I mean, but Cliff's an offensive.
Cliff's for a year.
But Cliff's an offensive coordinator, too. Offensive coordinators normally don't get that level of say.
True.
So, I mean, that's Antonio Pierce's team, right? And if Antonio Pierce rides the horse that got him there, you know? But
yeah. I still think they tried up. I like O'Connell's story. I like the Farva, the whole thing, the whole spiel. But he's played himself into a journeyman role at this point. He will absolutely get a second contract with, if it's not with the Raiders and what the different team is. Probably a bridge or, you know, a long shot chance kind of guy.
And even if they do draft someone, they may break camp with him starting. So look for sell windows here on O'Connell and Superflex.
Yeah, especially if for whatever reason he does survive, like if they don't take a quarterback early.
Yeah, jump at that.
Yeah.
Clayton Toon got one start. Oof. Dorian Thompson-Robinson got one start. You can oof both of those because neither look good.
No.
Jaren Hall.
Oof. Well, oof. Eh.
Yeah. Yeah, oof. You know, it was pretty
oof.
They were
that one drive.
A rotation.
Got hurt.
So. Yeah. But all late-round quarterbacks, don't expect a lot from them. There's not really a lot.
If you get more than a game from them. Right at this point, you're probably happy.
You drafted them to back up their insurance spots.
Yep.
Let's go to the running backs. I'm going to have a victory lap for a minute.
Year one victory lap. No. You can't.
No, I can year one victory lap because the amount of people that wanted to anoint the dynasty running back one before he ever took a snap in the NFL. Like in victory lap year one, if you can anoint the number one dynasty back without ever taking a snap, right? So Bijan Robinson did not have the rookie year a lot of people were expecting, especially you can blame Arthur Smith, but especially on an offense that we knew you were going to run the football a shitload. 214 attempts is decent, 976 yards, 4.6 yards per attempt. There's nothing in the numbers that was necessarily bad there. He had 1,300 scrimmage yards. That's actually pretty good. The only knock on Bijan is that people anointed him as the dynasty RB1 immediately out of the gate and set the expectations so sky high, it made him almost impossible to hit. If this is a guy that comes in at Breece Hall level of expectations his rookie year or whatever, maybe a little bit under that, you're totally happy with 1,300 scrimmage yards or 1,400 scrimmage yards and, you know, 8 touchdowns, right? It's a great season. Really fucking good season.
Yeah, I also
think...
the
expectations were so stupid high that there was no way he could live up to them.
I also think people just wrote off the idea that, you know, every rookie running back that gets drafted in the first round has to come out and produce. Did he live up to his expectations? Not in the way that not in the way that we all, that a lot of us thought that we would see.
Did he have a damn good rookie season though?
There's a lot of things that make me excited, especially in the future.
There is, especially with the way that they're changing coaching staffs and hopefully get him.
It's the receiving upside that makes me.
Yeah.
Excited. Number one in routes run. Number two in route percentage. Like they want to get him involved as a pass catcher. Like if there's a lot of underlying stuff that goes fine. If someone wants to sell off of him, which would be a weird year to do it when there's no
don't sell
high end running back to name in this craft class, supposedly. He's still a top three dynasty back for me. This also speaks to the bad landscape of running back at this point.
No.
Is he above Gibbs, though? No.
No.
I have Gibbs ahead, but I also don't have Gibbs 1-2. So.
Yeah. and Brees or anything like that, but running backs are finicky. And damn good rookie season for BU. Not taking that away. Let's talk about Gibbs. Jahmyr
Let's talk about
Gibbs,
Gibbs.
second back off the board. A lot of frustration to start with what was going on with David Montgomery. Then David Montgomery goes down with an injury, and then come back. And the frustration around Gibbs is just that people somehow expected Detroit to not do what Detroit does and showed that they do. Right? And then they did exactly that. And everyone's like, what do you mean they're doing exactly that? Well, shit, it's the same thing they did with Swift and Jamal Williams. Like, it's a formula for that team. They did it again. But Gibbs, 11 total touchdowns, edge there, 1,200 scrimmage yards, edge Bijan. I mean, for my money, equally as good of a rookie year.
They are, yeah, they're both the same. Bijan's opportunity line, Bijan's overall opportunity. This is where I'm going to lean. You can lean differently. Like, if you want to put Bijan number one or number two, or you just want to put Bijan ahead of Gibbs, like there's positive arguments to why you want to make that. I would bet on Robertson as being more of a bell call long term than Gibbs. Gibbs has his role. And Gibbs' his size makes me more concerned if he's going to be a multi-season bell cow. But what we're witnessing again is you're basically looking at New Orleans 2.0. You're looking at Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara with Montgomery and Gibbs is 2.0. Kamara probably peaked as a tier one top three dynasty back during his run as heyday, and that's where I think Gibbs is at. The one downside to Gibbs is that his usage ceiling is not as high as Robinson.
Not
It's just it's
if
a better
they stay.
offense, more scoring opportunity, and he should increase his pass catching production from what we saw this
Yeah.
year.
The usage probability isn't as high because we know
He's not
what.
a prototypical built size,
No, and we know
bell
what
cow.
Detroit's formula is, and we know how they want to run that, right? And you've got Ben Johnson in there for another year. We know that what his role is going to be. We know how they want to run that. That's not suddenly going to change. But when you can be hyper efficient on that number of touches, there's still plenty of value there.
Like I said, he is. I think he is your. This is your little more modern 2017, 2018 Saints. This is your Kamara and Ingram upgraded. Or I guess I'm upgraded, but more so, 10 years later, 9 years later.
Seven.
Math is hard. Basic math, even.
Camaro was 2017. That was it.
2017. I know. 7 years later. 6 years, I guess, technically, in this
All
sense.
right. Next round of guys is gonna be kind of meh. Zach Charbonnet, Kendre Miller, Tyjae Spears. Charbonnet had some injury issues, had some Kenneth Walker issues. Was never in a situation where one, I felt they should have used a second round pick on him, but two,
No.
where he was going to get the majority of the work, just one touchdown, just 100 attempts. And I don't see that getting massively better.
No, he's kind of stuck. Now, Walker and himself struggles with staying on the field too. So
So he has
stars
a
align.
handcuff
I mean,
value, but.
yeah, like
He's one
stars
injury. Are
align.
you saying he's one injury away?
No, I'm saying more so if stars align in a way that he can get himself opportunity in a new coaching staff that didn't draft either of these guys, he can maybe take it. One injury away, yes, but I wouldn't be surprised if when we get to camp and everything else plays out, because I highly doubt Seattle adds another running back of any significance to this backfield, at least long term.
They shouldn't.
So we hope they shouldn't take in a running back at the second round this year, but who the fuck knows? It's more so I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing rumblings between these two as competing for the number one. It's not going to just be Walker's job. Charbonnet will have his opportunity to probably eat into that, and we'll see.
You're gonna end up with a split-headed fucking
You
mess.
and I don't like
I don't like
we're big
Charbonnet.
fans of Charbonnet anyways, so it's whatever to me, but
yeah,
it's we'll see. It's gonna be a headache, like you mentioned. It's gonna be a headache, and we don't know what the new Seattle is gonna look like. So,
Yep. Kendra Miller,
oof.
we expected good things. He had injuries. Nobody
Yeah.
really took the Ingram role for the Saints. Just gonna gloss over that.
Yeah.
You're holding unless you have shallow rosters. Tyjae Spears. So you got
Interesting.
Derek, this is really interesting because he did get some work.
Yep.
He did get some change of pace work. He did look decent in doing that. And Derrick Henry might be on his way out of town. This could be a Rashad White situation. Not comparing the
Yes.
player, but comparing the situations. This
The
could
opportunity. Yes, good call.
be your Rashad White situation. And you're going to have the same thing with Zamir White over in Vegas, right? From a couple classes before. But I mean, these are guys that you're watching for. Okay, if the Titans don't go add anybody in a shallow running back class and Derrick Henry does walk, suddenly it's Tyjae Spears' backfield.
I mean, he, excuse me, I like. Very identical receiving production to Gibbs.
Yeah.
Obviously, rushing production is not there. He's not the primary runner. And Gibbs obviously got more work, especially towards the end of the season when they started to use him a little more, 50-50 with Montgomery. But Spears is receiving upside. This is what more so the highlight is that Spears is receiving upside. It should be noted and huge. And while, caution to the wind, if he ever gets a full-time work, he doesn't have any fucking knees. So basically, he's less exciting Todd Gurley, but one or 2 years maybe.
Yeah.
And it's receiving production. If Tennessee is going in a new direction, and maybe we'll get a more explosive offense,
One or
with
two
the guy like
years is
Levis behind there.
about all you get out of not elite backs anymore. So
Yeah. And he started not, it's not like, Todd Gurley started out his career, obviously hurt his first year with the Rams, but
yeah.
then he got just insane work from a time until they basically ran him to the ground. Spears may not get that luxury, but you could get a maybe a little longer receiving producing, career. His, 52 catches in his rookie season, no one gave a shit. Not a bad year. He had 70 targets, one less than Gibbs, same amount of catches. And this is, again, Spears obviously a different offense, and the cost is significantly different because the players are different. But you can get yourself a cheap Gibbs.
Yeah, do it.
That's not going to cost you first. Not he is a
He's a buy.
firm buy.
He's a firm buy right now. This is
Absolutely. And
not a
buy
draft
it.
class you find running backs in. This is a firm buy.
Yeah. And you want to get him, before anything on Henry comes out. So
Yep.
I know it's not a big moving time in the offseason. Most people are trying to take a little break from Dynasty, but if you're one of those degenerates like us, not a bad to go sniff around the old
No.
Spears angle.
All right, we're going to start jumping around here a little bit, but we can't jump around yet because of Devon Achane.
Achan.
Yeah, Devon Achane. Explosive. And we all knew that. There
Yeah.
were monster games in here. There were injuries in here. And then there were some that were just kind of okay. This is not a guy that should ever be and every down back, but this is a guy that in this offense, you've got flex productivity already, and it took him, he only played in 11 games and he put up 900 scrimmage yards. So you get him healthy, you keep him healthy, you get him involved, even in a change of pace role. This guy is going to be explosive and put up some big, big games. Now, because of those big, big games, he's absolutely not a buy. And I don't think it's a sell window either. So this is a firm hold, but just want to give him his flowers. Absolutely every bit as explosive as he looked. The role will never be a bell cow, but the role is damn sure going to be a hyper efficient ancillary piece that is explosive and capable of huge games.
I mean, as long as the McDaniels offense continues to be what it is, he's a perfect fit for the offense they run.
Yep.
And I mean,
And most
I
routes
can,
on the wrong side of 30, too.
I can also see this as an opportunity if you don't, you know, if someone wants to buy heavy into them, that'd be the only time I would sell. If you want to try to get into a little more stable, you know, kind of more consistent production and I guess upside on touches and opportunity, but you know, Achane could be a shot in the pan for 1 year and you know, Mostert gets hurt. Dolphins don't like to invest heavily into running backs in general. Especially from the tree that they come from with the McDaniels tree. Yeah. I think there's a potential high upside season for them if all the stars align.
Yeah, I agree. All we'll skip over Bigsby. I don't have a lot to say about Roshan. Obviously, a lot made of my reaction to this pick, and you know, there wasn't a lot to tell me I was right or wrong, right? As a fourth round pick, he didn't do a lot, but no, neither did Herbert. Bears offense, and as long as Fields is there, he's not going to be a team for running back production, really. So, you know, the it's just kind of a thing, I guess.
He has some injuries, but I think by all accounts he couldn't take advantage of the
Yeah.
opportunity that his backfield laid out for him.
Yeah, because clearly Herbert
Herbert
had some
and
injuries too, and Deonta Foreman
no,
ended up being the guy.
this is not a those aren't two guys that you're scared of. This should have
No.
been if Johnson was gonna be a thing,
It would have happened.
it would have happened. And we would have seen more signs of it instead of the kind of every now and then in small splashes. It's he's no, he didn't hit.
Yep, I got nothing on a Bonaconda. Let's go to Chase Brown, who the Bengals decided at the end of the year that they wanted to take a long look at over Joe Mixon. And what that look told you, yeah, you were a little mixed.
It's, I don't think we're gonna get anything from it.
No.
Maybe he like maybe a non-pass catching profile, you know, pulls the Samaje Perine card here and all of a sudden finds himself in a third down role on a good offense, but
Maybe it's a situation where if they move on from Mixon like they seem primed to do, that he
yeah.
just gets, again, you're looking at Rashad White, right? Inefficient, but might just end up with touches by default next year. So
It we'll see. Probably
it's.
didn't do enough to, you know, to tell me that the Bengals, if they move on from Mixon, are just not going to look at running backs.
It's a situation I'm very intrigued on the draft in the offseason, and that we're when we come and do the refresher here in the middle of July, where this could very easily be a buy if you're a competing team or a target in redraft, or it could be that he's totally buried and done. I
Yeah,
could see him
there's
going either way.
I think it's you're very excited because he survived free agency in the draft, or you're just moving on because he did not survive free agency in the draft.
Right. Eric Gray, Evan Hull, I got nothing on them. Chris Rodriguez Jr. That was a guy that,
Washington,
yep,
right? Yeah.
Washington. That was a guy I like coming out, and you know, last game of the year, 58 yards, two touchdowns on just 10 touches. So, again, this is a watch. You've got Brian Robinson there. You've got a new regime coming in.
One injury away.
Yep, the one. He was efficient in the attempts that he got. He did something with, but he wasn't really given a shot. It's more of a watch. Deuce Vaughn, a lot of people were high on that. Didn't get anything. Zach Evans, don't need to talk about that. McBride, Nichols, McIntosh were meh.
Meh.
Tight ends.
We
This
should have
shit
skipped
was
receivers.
no, this is goes in a
Okay.
different order. I know
Wait.
that you and I are used to going running back, wide receiver, tight end, but the list I found for this one is tight ends, wide receivers, because it goes in ABC orders.
Gonna say because is because of T's before W. Yeah,
Yeah, that's
that. All right,
exactly
cool. I get you.
it. This tight end class is not like any tight end class we've seen
No, it's this is a fucking unicorn class until I see otherwise.
since we've been doing it, right?
Yeah.
Seven, seven,
Unbelievable.
seven tight end classes is easily the best one, starting with Dalton Kincaid. A lot of people saw him as a you know, the best tight end in this class. 673 yards, just two touchdowns. But, you know, he was splitting with Dawson Knox. That's great production for a rookie tight end.
We got to see a little glimpse into maybe post Knox era when Knox hurt and Kincaid was kind of fulfilling the number two target role. Diggs is on the wrong side of 30, maybe out of town. Buffalo.
He's a buy if somebody's down on him for some reason, but I don't think anybody is.
It's hard. Yeah. It's like if you're selling Kincaid, like even if Kincaid had a kind of a meh year, there's no reason to be moving on from him. But, I think he's a buy. Like if you can try to, I'd be smelling the corner. Like even in single tight end or single one tight end leagues, no premium, I'd be trying to sniff their roster, whoever has them, and seeing what you can get, maybe looking at maybe more profile veteran tight ends to maybe try to offshoot with it. Because even if Buffalo drafts a receiver and you have one year more, maybe two with Diggs there, Kincaid will be so productive. Knox is not their long-term answer, and it's hard for me to just ignore Kincaid's capital here and Buffalo just not using them, so...
Yeah. Sam LaPorta, incredible, beast. Incredible. Best rookie tight end season we've seen. Absolute beast. He's going to be the next guy we talked about being in that elite tier. Didn't quite make it there this year. Didn't break the 1,000-yard mark. Did hit double-digit touchdowns, though. The dude is absolutely phenomenal. Michael Mayer, Luke Musgrave, they're both more hit the normal rookie tight end arc that we expect where – the productivity is not through the roof, but there were flashes, and you're absolutely looking at them for year two and year three breakouts. Those are guys that you can target. You could argue skin maker there towards the end.
You think Musgrave with Kraft, they're out in Green Bay with all the rookie receivers and just the youth there. Someone's going to have to, there's going to be people that are going to fall off the wayside. I'm just wondering your thoughts.
That whole thing is just going to be you're going to see how it shakes out. They've got more draft capital in Musgrave than they do Kraft by a little bit, by a round, basically. Kraft, a little bit better. Now, the numbers are actually very similar overall. Yeah, it was. So Kraft was 40 targets, 31 receptions, 355 and 2. Musgrave was 46 targets, 34 receptions, 352. So they're very similar. The thing with Green Bay's offense is you're going to have to pick your guys, and decide who you believe in. And I don't know how else to put that, because there's a lot of guys that flashed a lot of things, but nobody really broke out. But as the Macho Man says, the cream always rises to the top. And what's going to happen there is people are going to rise to the top. So you're going to plant your flags. You're going to go buy on your flags. In redraft, you're going to draft low on your flags. So all this is going to be a value. And you'll see that start to shake out. We already saw Jaden Reed kind of start to shake himself ahead of some of the other wide receivers. You'll see this start to shake out. But I haven't looked in the advanced numbers, but Kraft and Musgrave were very, very similar in their overall
it
productivity.
I get it. It speaks to the head scratching decision to draft in both day two. They both fill very similar
roles.
Yep. It's 2019 Ravens when they took that, or 2018 when you had Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews being drafted. You can say, well, you should buy into this guy. It's going to be one of these guys will break out, or they'll both stay healthy, and it sucks because they both aren't going to be usable, or one guy will get hurt, and maybe you'll find production. Meh. Sadly. Meh.
All right. I'm going to move on to wide receivers now.
Yeah.
Let's start with JSN. First wide receiver off the board. We knew that landing where he landed, that it was going to be hard for him to stick out above the likes of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And I think that's exactly what happened. 93 targets, 63 receptions, 600 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's a good rookie year, but it's good in the same sense of Jaden Reed's rookie year, Tank Dell's rookie year. Not good in the sense of number one overall wide receiver in this class, as he was outperformed by a couple guys, but I don't think that's an indictment on his talent. I think that's just landing spot matters, and he landed between two established guys.
Yeah, this was. It's kind of like the Chris Godwin corollary. It's the Chris Godwin just, you know, situation when he went to Tampa in 2017, where it was just abiding his time until the vets got moved on from, and he can kind of shine in its own right. And that's where Smith is going to, that's where Smith and Jigma Jason's going to kind of be. You know, numbers are good. They're not particularly great from his, you know, his advanced metrics or the efficiency part, but again, Seattle, new regime starting there. I have to imagine we're going to see more of JSN. He should start this upcoming season.
Should start to take over a
I'm
little
assuming bit. Lockett will either be on the team or he'll be regulated to third role or he's gone.
Yeah. So JSN, if somebody feels burnt, is a buy low, but really he's a hold.
It's going to be, this is such a, this is such a popular wide receiver class that you're going to probably see one of those 24 receivers start to fall, especially super flex leagues. And you're going to see people trying to, you know, people getting JSN for second round picks.
Yeah. And
like, it wouldn't surprise you. You're going to, yeah, you're going to see some buy low opportunity in JSN.
And good for them because he needs the opportunity share to open up, and I think he'll take off.
Yeah.
And it will. Yeah. Lockett's not getting younger, though. Geno is not long to be the quarterback there. Things will shake loose for him. It's just a little bit longer term, but he flashed enough, unlike this next guy. Quentin Johnston is on full-blown bust watch, and we were all over this. I don't remember how it shook down. Okay, I was all over this. I think you were too. Where
it was high upside, high bust chance.
High upside, high bust probability because of the profile, and it looks like it's going to be the bust probability. He had opportunities, right? They were not healthy at wide receiver, and he took none of them and broke out with none of them and did nothing and showed nothing. And that's not a death nail in year one, but if year two goes the same way, you're done.
To me, this is a rare. He's a sell low. Just if you find somebody out there that found something, yeah. Like he went from excitement to season starts and then nothing. And then every single fucking week, his value just got worse, worse, and worse.
Every week, he had another chance to do something and didn't.
Yeah. And now he's going to have to learn another playbook. Another coaching staff will come in, maybe. Again, sell some on the idea of new coaching staff comes in that we'll get an opportunity to work with them instead of what we had last year. Because there's nothing good. There's just nothing good to come from this. There's legitimately nothing there to get excited about.
No.
At all.
Now, and, yeah.
The only excitement is he gets to play with Herbert. And he took, he was number nine, or I'm still looking at fucking JSN. I was like, this doesn't look terrible. Jesus. I was like, he's number nine in slot snaps. I'm like, that would make no sense. Oh, right. My internet's being slow. Anyways.
That's all right. I'm just going to move on because I don't care. Zay Flowers. Great rookie season.
I care a lot more. Yeah.
I care a lot more. We're going to get into a lot of these guys that you're excited about because the name of this class is a lot of guys put up very, very solid to good rookie years to build on and that there's going to be opportunity to build on. New look Ravens offense. Zay Flowers became the reliable receiver that they've been lacking for a long time. Had 108 targets, 77 balls caught, 71.3% catch rate, 5 touchdowns, 858 yards. That's really, really good. 100-yard receiving performance against Kansas City and a touchdown really put the receiving game on his back on that one. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Zay Flowers' rookie year and what he's got to build on here in this offense and what he should be able to do in the years to come. He's you're absolutely happy if you drafted him. I think there's more feeling to be had. This isn't to buy low. This isn't to sell high. This is a you hit on him. Congratulations.
Yeah, this is you basically got what you should have expected. Like, there's nothing here that jumps out to saying that he didn't live up to or fully exceeded expectations. Like, number one from the get-go, you know, 24%, you know, target shares, very respectable as a rookie, especially stepping into Bateman year three as a first-round pick, and then the addition of Odell, who Baltimore is very excited for. Do I think he'll ever reach wide receiver one ceiling?
No.
In Dynasty, probably not. But I think you're very happy with him as a two. And again, depending on what your expectations were, like this is
that's
basically
what your expectations
what you
should have been for
yeah.
a lot of this class was twos because they didn't have a lot of size, right? There's not a lot of size. There's not a lot of huge explosive upside or anything like that. We said when we did this class, there's going to be a lot of twos and a lot of really, really good twos in here. And I think that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Another one, Jordan Addison. This is the anti-Quentin Johnston because when Jefferson went down, Jordan Addison did take advantage of his opportunities and did do really, really well at that. Double-digit touchdowns. He had a 10-touchdown campaign his rookie year. 108, 70, and 911. Very, very similar lines to Zay Flowers and their drafted one pick around each other.
It's
same scenario.
Incredible. If Cousins returns, he is immediately vaulted into wide receiver 2-3 range for fantasy. He'll have every opportunity to be successful playing alongside Jefferson, and even as you mentioned, if JJ has to miss time, we see him step up in a number one role. You know, he's in a perfect spot. It was a slam dunk landing spot. It was a very obviously this is probably going to be a successful opportunity because if you watch anything, you know, from him, he's been successful from day one in college. So this was such an easy pick to make.
Yep. Jonathan Mingo, we're going to gloss over. We talked over that. He was never destined to be a one, shouldn't have been a one, dumpster fire of an offense.
Poopy.
Mulligan it and see what happens. The next guy up is Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed and Rashi Rice, Marvin Mims, Tank Dell, all guys that we have to talk about, right? Jaden Reed, another very, very solid performance. And I mean, a big reason that I won championships in the leagues that I did. Down the stretch, he was almost a touchdown lock. He was being targeted. He had a stretch there where he had 26 targets in three games, 94 targets overall. I think that led the Packers. If not, it was close. I'm going to go bet that real quick. And got involved in the rushing game. So this is another guy that I don't think ever is necessarily going to profile as a one, but he was a little dry. He was two targets behind Romeo Doubs, so he didn't lead. But that's still pretty good for a mid-round rookie. He's another guy that's slightly undersized and is probably never going to be a one, but he's involved in the receiving game. He proved himself to be reliable. He was involved in the rushing game. This is, you know, falling a lot like, you know, it's almost like Green Bay's version of Zay Flowers, almost, is where Jaden Reed landed. He's a super reliable college receiver, too.
He's basically, I'm not getting as much opportunity, Zay Flowers. You know, 24.4 target rate is fantastic as pointing to if Green Bay's wide receiver room gets thin, there's opportunity for him to be successful. And you would like to think that the future Green Bay wide receiver room, at least for the next couple of years, is going to be Watson and Reed. Watson's your bigger body outside, deep threat, you know, boundary receiver, and Reed as what should be more of your standard in, you know, flanker, you know, target hog-ish. Well, like you said, he won't be number one. He won't have wide receiver one upside, but a solid 2-3, and he still has room to take the next step. You know, decent size for today's NFL receivers. As you've seen, you can't just, count out smaller-ish receivers. And if Jordan Love also continues to progress and the offense continues to grow together, Reed is. I wouldn't be shocked if we're looking at this in a year or two and Reed's above Zay Flowers.
I wouldn't
And
either.
that's more so Green Bay's potential and Jordan Love's upside as a true pure passer and arm talent is higher than Jackson. It's not a hot take. Love's problem was never arm talent. It was
No, it was always.
upstairs in the head.
Yep.
And if they found a way to extract that the way that Bills did with Josh Allen, that's good for Reed, and especially as as Green Bay thins out their wide receiver room.
Yeah. Now, a guy with size that does have the size to be a one and did have a good, a really good rookie year. 6'2", 203-pound Rashee Rice with Patrick Mahomes. He has really blossomed to be the Chiefs' only reliable wide receiver when they desperately needed one. He's seen double-digit targets or in that range, I should say. So as low as four since November, but he's got four games of double-digit targets, another couple in there with nine, multiple 100-yard receiving games. Overall for his rookie year, 102 targets, 938 yards, seven touchdowns, and he really didn't get heavily involved in the offense until the end of November.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what this looks like as Kansas City will, please for the love of God, add some wide receiver talent in the draft or
Just
probably go out and go after a guy.
had somebody that is fast that can actually catch a fucking football. Because the number of deep balls missed by their fast receivers that
It's
can't
so
catch a
annoying.
football is obnoxious.
It's Rice's role isn't to operate deep. He
No.
basically was the Juju replacement. He's that flanker slot, or he's that flanker possession receiver, and he played that very well. And well, I'm a little concerned that that people are going to overvalue him in the terms of he plays with Mahomes, and like we should just continue to see his production reach massive heights. Like I don't view Rice as a number one, but
His
he does
production's
have
going
the
to go up
size.
from here. Yeah.
Yeah,
I view him as he could be a high end too.
I think hiring two is the absolute hope.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say expectation, but my absolute ceiling would be
Kind of
high two.
T Higgins-ish.
I mean, which would be funny because I if since he lets Higgins walk, I can totally see Higgins play in Kansas City,
Yeah, I could too.
which would work for them because Higgins, again, will play the outside boundary role.
Yeah, it worked great. But Rashee Rice, another one, a lot of guys were looking at and saying, hey, this guy could be a thing in the mid rounds, and sure as shit.
It definitely pays to take most of your opportunity when you have Mahomes throwing you the football and everyone else in the wide receiver room fucking sucks.
All right,
And Kelsey was hurt for most of the year.
gonna speed this up a little bit. Marvin Mims. Thoughts on his rookie year. He was hyped. He was not highly involved. He did have some splashes.
When he got opportunity, he hit it, but he's gonna like I don't know. Maybe you'll get more if they get rid of Judy or Sutton leaves, but no.
Tank Dell, a little bit boom busty. Especially with Nico Collins was healthy at the same time, but in that offense, he another undersized receiver, right? Another guy that's under 6 foot tall, under 170 pounds,
Tiny. Tiny
tiny,
guy.
tiny. 700 yards, seven touchdowns in just 11 games, though. Very, very good on what should be a very, very good offense. Another wide receiver too.
Yeah, 2-3.
Two, three.
I'm very interested to see how their offense and wide receiver room evolve as Shroud even better than expected.
Right. I'm going to start reading names between Dell and Puka Nacua, and tell me if you want to talk about anybody.
Okay.
Jalen Hyatt.
No.
Cedric Tillman.
No.
Josh Downs.
No.
Michael Wilson.
No.
Downs and Wilson, at least mildly intriguing to watch next year. Downs had some flashes. Wilson was hurt for the middle part, never really got to play with Murray, even though he did flash some stuff. That's all we'll
if
say
Pittman
on that
walks, one. If Pittman walks, Downs becomes interesting because I don't think it's Alec Pierce.
No, I don't either. And Wilson, I'm interested to see in year two.
Especially if
potentially
Marquise,
as a
it sounds like
buyout.
Marquise Brown will probably be gone.
Especially if Marquise Brown walks, especially having an offseason with Kyler. I don't know that he saw the field late with Kyler, but they didn't really have a chance to build anything up. And he
He
did
has
get
some splashes.
12, he did get 12 targets over those games. His last game was 95 yarder,
Yeah.
6213, incredibly fast. He's a guy I'm watching for a year or two break.
Write him down.
Be a
Write
bit
him down.
low. Yeah, write him
Yeah.
down. Trey Tucker.
No.
No. Darius Davis.
Who?
The Chargers receiver that only got opportunities because Quentin Johnston couldn't do shit.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Special teamer. Charlie
Yeah.
Jones.
Bengals guy saw some, made some opportunity, right? No, it wasn't him. It was your dude. So, I can't remember his name now.
Oh,
the sixth round guy had more opportunity than he did.
Yoshivis. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Jones is their primary returner. So,
yeah. Maybe. He'll stick on the team. Probably will need a lot of injuries to see
basically
the field.
Alex, basically the little white guy replacement for Alex.
Maybe play in return leagues. Maybe. If you play in leagues that score yards on special teams.
Yeah. Tyler Scott. No.
No.
Justin Shorter. Who?
Who?
Buffalo. Fifth round pick.
Bless you.
Dontavian Wicks.
He needs a lot. He's like, I wouldn't be shocked if he's practice squad with everyone healthy next year. He was able to produce when called upon, but I doubt it.
Four touchdowns over the last 5 weeks is really why he got splashed.
He had a lot of
181 yards
and
and four
injuries.
Touchdowns towards the back end. Got opportunity with the Christian Watson injuries, as did Bo Melton. It's something to watch, but it's not anything you're going to talk about. Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
All right, we got to talk about Puka.
Wide receiver one, baby. He might be in tier two for me already. Like, it went from week one and week two, we were like, flash in the pan opportunity to.
And then when Kupp got back, he just kept doing it.
He is.
He's a real deal.
He's a real deal. Yeah,
yep.
He is. Yeah, he should be viewed as a top. Should be
You're
viewed
not
as a wide
selling
receiver
high,
one in
you're
dynasty.
celebrating that you got a dynasty wide receiver one late as shit.
And I will say this, when we told you early seasons for a high end receiver.
Yeah.
Like that hasn't changed.
All right. Parker Washington. Who?
He tried. He had a thing and
he tried.
Wasn't it?
Keyshawn Boutte. Nope. Don't need to talk about
hey,
that.
Hey, 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 hey. The dude bets on himself. Dude, so Sean tried to Sean sent me a trade offer for him for free. Like I basically just give Sean Boutte. I'm like, I can't. The guy is a gambling man. Like he has to be on my team. That's the only Boutte that I talk that's worth it.
Trey Palmer.
We'll see how Bucks wide receiver coach got a new OC job, and that was good for Palmer's game. He was able to kind of overtake the three spot.
Yep.
With no Russell Gage, and
Evans,
I think that should be his. I think there's opportunity. I think there might be some opportunity there,
especially if Evans walks.
Yeah, there's. You can circle it down. Name the watch.
A.T. Perry, not really.
No.
Elijah Higgins, no. Xavier Hutchinson, no. Andre Yoshivis. You mentioned that he got.
Dude, if Boyd and Higgins both walk, Boyd's probably gone. And you can say maybe Charlie Jones fits in that spot, but I think most of it's your dude
Yoshivis
should
is
get that
bigger.
spot.
6'3", 212. He's a bigger guy that got more opportunity share than Charlie Jones, and he fits. He's a much more easier Higgins replacement just due to his size and his athleticism than Charlie Jones is. Charlie Jones would be more of a slot replacement for Boyd if they don't fill that elsewhere. Should they both
And
walk?
yeah, I'll be name the rate down. I think the team likes them. We'll see how that
Team
Bengals
likes him. He's
offseason
got good
shapes
size,
out.
good athleticism, and he was productive as shit
Yeah.
in college, and he passed the tape test. He didn't have the opportunity with where he landed in year one to watch for year two, and if you can get him as
Hey,
a cheap ass throw in, or he gets dropped after the draft or
the
whatever, or
man
however
showed
that
out.
pans out, do it.
The man showed out in the very limited opportunity he was given. So, you know, that's always a well-written time to write it down.
Indeed. All right. Where was I? DeMario Douglas.
Where is he? Houston too?
New England.
New England. Oh, that's right. He kind of showed his
He kind
opportunity
of had
when
like a flash in the pan a little bit.
who got hurt there? The number one that was obviously not Barker or Boutte. The old San Francisco guy,
Oh,
right?
Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, Bourne.
Yeah.
I think Douglas saw it some or whatever the fuck his
You
name is
saw a
saw
bit
it.
after Bourne got hurt.
Yeah, after
Yeah.
Bourne was out for the year.
All right. I don't know any of the rest of these names other than Ronnie Bell. So, Antoine Green, Colton Dowell, Jalen Brooks, Ronnie Bell, Grant Dubose.
At least Bell saw some love towards the end of the San Francisco season.
Yeah.
Maybe slots in as a number three spot over Jennings next year.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything else to talk about. Shout out Jake Moody.
Shout out Moody.
Great. Of the drafted kickers, he had the best rookie season. Chad Ryland, not so much. Anders Carlson was a liability. So.
Moody had kind of a up and down, you know, postseason. Not the greatest, but
Well, it's
you
still
know,
there.
he's still there.
Could really
He's
submit
kicking.
himself. But also Brandon Aubrey, too. Talking about rookie
Yes.
kickers. Aubrey was absolutely
As long
fucking
as he's not kicking
phenomenal.
extra points, he's fine.
Yeah. And even then, he was fine up until recently.
Yeah, that's what he missed. Yeah, it was those.
Yeah. Shout out to Devin Witherspoon for a great fucking rookie season in Seattle, Illinois boy. Awesome. Christian Gonzalez, great in for IDP before he got hurt. Joey Porter Jr. taking over there in Pittsburgh. So just some things there, I guess.
Shout out Davin Pace Jr., walk-on, undrafted Cincinnati boy out of should have been more in conversation for rookie defensive player of the year. Absolute standout for Minnesota.
Indeed. Shout out to some of the defensive linemen, Will Anderson Jr. Great rookie year. Made his presence felt. Got to be the cornerstone of that defense for a long time to come. Jalen Carter kept his nose clean, had some splash plays. Lucas Van Ness, as much as it pains me.
Yeah. Opportunity more.
Opportunity more than anything. And I'm not going to talk about Jack Campbell. Too
Fuck
many
Jack
Jack
Campbell.
Campbell mentions. All right. That is it for this episode. We'll be back next week to check in on, I guess, anything else, Dynasty. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but we're going to check in on the rest
That's
of
next week's
Dynasty.
problem.
That's a next week problem. That's right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
See you.